This is Pastor Emery. Many ministers insist that an Antichrist world government will come upon the earth only after all Christians are snatched off to heaven by Jesus. However, according to 2 John verse 7, anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is an Antichrist. Since none, repeat, none of the rulers of nations are Christians, then Antichrist already rule the world, do they not? Last week I read a little from Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet. I have a little more to cover on that and will continue in our Bible study to answer the question, what is Mystery Babylon? Many have thought that because the title, Mystery Babylon the Great, does not appear in the Bible until Revelation 17 and verse 5, that Mystery Babylon herself does not come into existence until that time. However, they overlook chapter 16, where we read in verse 19, "And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath," and read again verse 1 of chapter 17, the angel says to John, before he showed him the vision of Mystery Babylon, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." So Revelation 17 and 18 is not a vision of Mystery Babylon's appearing upon the earth. It is rather a vision of her disappearance, her judgment, then her final destruction. So when I am trying to show you what Mystery Babylon is, I am not describing something which is yet future, but something which already exists upon the earth today and is only exposed in Revelation 17 and 18. Millions of Christians have been told over and over by so many men for so many years that Jesus is going to come as a, quote, thief in the night and snatch them off to heaven, and then the Antichrist will take over, that they stand dumbfounded as some of them realize the Antichrist have already taken over. Is it possible many are being deliberately deceived and misled? I think so. We are still discussing the way of the kings of the East and how it is fulfilled as mentioned in Revelation 16 and verse 12. As I explained, the way of the kings of the East is not a prophecy of a great military invasion by Asian armies. Instead, it is a prophecy of the way or the customs or the religions of the East being infiltrated into what we call the West or Christendom. And it was to take place prior to the Battle of Armageddon mentioned in verse 16. It is manifested today by the Eastern philosophies and Eastern religions which permeate all of our culture. The writings of Khalil Gibran are one example. Last week I read portions from his book, The Prophet, which sold millions of copies in America between 1930 and 1970. He and others like him express the philosophy which has spawned the free love and drug cults in America. Khalil Gibran published 10 other books in America, or perhaps I should say, people in America who knew how destructive to Christianity his books were published them and promoted them in America, just as they promote every other thing which is destructive to Christian civilization. Gibran was a Hindu from India. Last week we saw that his philosophy and advice on love and marriage, written in hauntingly hypnotic prose, is the exact opposite of God's law. Yet hundreds of thousands of young people in Christian homes have been affected by Gibran's writings and wicked philosophies. These evil philosophies are part of what is called in Revelation 16:12, the way of the kings of the east, in verse 13, unclean spirits, and in verse 14, spirits of devils. The prophet, or the book The Prophet, treats 27 different subjects. The third one is on raising children. Listen, and you'll see where permissiveness and letting children do their own thing originated. It originated from the East. Page 21 of the book, The Prophet. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you." What is the message from this Hindu from India? Children do not belong to parents. Parents should strive to be like children and not make their children like themselves. When this is followed by parents, their children grow up following whatever it is that is funneled into their minds by the schools, the news media, television, the entertainment world, and so on. Christian parents then do not produce Christian children. And that, after all, is the goal of every antichrist in the world. How better to reduce the Christian population of the world than to convince Christian parents not to train nor to discipline their children according to the Christian Bible and the Christian faith? This same deadly advice has been given to millions of Christian parents by the Jewish philosopher Benjamin Spock. Don't spank your child. Don't correct him. Let him do his own thing. If you chastise him, you might break his spirit. Let him have his own person to reach his own potential, and on and on. Dear Abby and Ann Landers write the same bad advice, which is read by millions. Let children choose their own lifestyles. Children should be given information, but let them make up their own minds. Abby even tells parents that if their children take drugs, they are not to punish them, but join some sort of a parents group and try to understand them. The Christian Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 19, verse 18, God commands, "Chasten thy son while there is yet hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Proverbs 23, verse 14, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and deliver his soul from hell." God Almighty commands in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, that parents are to teach God's laws, statutes, and judgments diligently unto thy children. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, God says of his laws, "Teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." Khalil Gibran, the Eastern philosopher, says, "Do not teach your children anything. Let them fly away, for they are their own person." And thousands of secret antichrists in America parrot this same heathen and antichrist philosophy, couching it in sweet and seemingly wise words by which millions have been deceived. Our rulers urge young mothers to work and to turn their children over to government-paid workers for indoctrination and training outside of the Christian home. The government even forbids that God's Word be taught in government schools or daycare centers. 10 million of our young people are on drugs, 8 million alcoholics, some as young as 12 years of age. 1 million young people run away from home every year. Millions of young girls become pregnant before marriage, and tens, perhaps hundreds of thousands, are living with boyfriends without marriage. Something is destroying Christian morality, and with it, Christian civilization. Is this deliberate? Of course it is. In the front of this book by Khalil Gibran is a little banner with tiny letters which says, "Books are weapons in the war of ideas." Yes, they are weapons against Christianity. Gibran's same evil philosophy is put forth in a section on teaching on page 64, where he says, among other things, "No man can reveal to you aught but that which already lies half asleep in the dawning of your knowledge." In other words, search your own mind for wisdom. The Bible says, "Wisdom is from above, from God. If any man seek wisdom, let him ask of God." Jeremiah wrote that man's heart or man's intellect is desperately wicked above all things. And in the New Testament, we are told to seek the mind of Christ. Gibran says, "Seek your own mind." He goes on of the teacher, quote, "If he is indeed wise, he does not bid you enter the house of his wisdom, but rather leads you to the threshold of your own mind." Again, what is it? Exaltation of man's mind over the wisdom of God and of the parents in the family and nation. You've heard of transcendental meditation or self-meditation, self-realization societies or meetings, awareness groups, self-help groups, sensitivity training sessions. In such groups and organizations, anyone with problems such as prisoners, drug users, divorcees, cripples, alcoholics, and so on, are all urged to gather in a circle to express their feelings and emotions, to talk over their problems, to listen to each other, to give each other advice, even to shout at each other and accuse each other. All of this somehow is supposed to solve their problems and make them better persons. Of course, in each one they are guided by an instructor. And who is he? Well, most of them don't know it, but he is a secret practitioner of the religion of the East, Khalil Gibran's Hinduism, self-worship, exalting man's mind instead of seeking the mind of God. It is anti-God, anti-Christianity instead of Christianity. To prevent his readers from thinking of any source of knowledge from God Almighty outside of the person's own mind, Khalil Gibran concludes this section on teaching this way, quote, "So must each one of you be alone in his knowledge of God and in his understanding of the earth." So, you must understand God out of your own mind and not impart it to others. What more devilish philosophy and vain deceit could be put in the minds of our young people than to convince them they can know God only from their own minds? Add to that Gibran's previous phrase about the teacher not leading the student to the house of his wisdom, and you can see how this Hindu philosophy of not going to the source of wisdom, but instead going to your own mind, is also quite cleverly concealed today in what is called Christian evangelism. Now you listen and think with me for just a moment. Gibran says, the teacher does not send the student back to the source of wisdom, but instead sends him to his own mind. What is the call of the modern evangelist? You've heard it scores of times. Let Christ come into your heart, and he will change your mind. The hearer is then led to believe that all he has to do is make a confession about Christ in front of some other people, and somehow, from that moment on, he can trust his own mind. He is not instructed that the source of wisdom is in God's law. He is not instructed that only in God's law can he find answers and guides for his life, that only in God's law will he find knowledge of the difference between right and wrong. In fact, many of the evangelists keep the new professing Christian away from God's law by also telling him that God's law has been put away by the same Christ who he has now confessed and who is supposed to direct him into correct thinking through his mind. The Apostle Paul, who experienced a startling and miraculous conversion, wrote a whole section in his letter to the Romans on how God's law was the only thing that taught him right from wrong. Romans 2:23, he said breaking the law dishonored God. In Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. In verse 31, he says, faith establishes God's law. In chapter 7, verse 7, Paul, that genuinely converted Christian, writes, quote, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Christian Paul admitted that in his mind he didn't even know that lust was a sin until he read it in the law. In verse 12, chapter 7, Romans 7, he says, God's law is holy and just and good, and in verse 14, that the law is spiritual. Yet today, ministers tell their hearers that all they must do to become holy and just and good and spiritual is to come down to the altar, and then the ministers actually go out of their way to discourage that hearer from turning to the wisdom which Paul said was in God's law. Quoting Khalil Gibran again about teachers, quote, if he is indeed wise, he does not bid you enter the house of his wisdom, but rather leads you to the threshold of your own mind. Paraphrasing that, he would say, if the evangelist is wise, he will not bid you enter the Bible and read God's law, but rather lead you back to your own mind, and they do exactly that. The listener is led away from God's law right at the very time he is told he is now a Christian and can trust his own mind. No wonder so many professing Christians disobey much of God's law and accept that disobedience in others. They don't even know what God's law teaches. Instead, they obey whatever doctrine it is the evangelist teaches, thinking he must be right, since after all, he is the one preaching Christ. And that is enough of Khalil Gibran and his book, The Prophet. I could have pointed out this devilish and antichrist philosophy in 1,000 different books and in thousands of movies and millions of magazines, all of which are destroying the morality and the strength of the Christian West, which comes only from God's wisdom in God's Word. Instead, we are being turned inward to our own minds to seek the solution to the problems of the individual and the nation, and the solutions are not there, only more problems. We have turned from seeking our instruction in God's Word and His law, and we are being deceived by the traditions, the teachings, or the ways of the kings of the East. They are the deceptions of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. Our people must turn to God and to His Word, and I believe that day is soon coming. And when it comes, there may be the greatest burning of books in all of recorded history. As God's people burn the books, the magazines, even the movies of Mystery Babylon. Even Revelation 18 and verse 8 implies this with the phrase, "And she shall be utterly burned with fire." Both Paul and Peter wrote of the day when the evil works of the wicked would be burned up, leaving nothing but ashes. May God speed the day. Next week, God willing, we'll go on to demonstrate some of the other phases of the deceptions and actions of Mystery Babylon. Deceptions and actions which are actually warfare against Christendom. Not the warfare of some future Antichrist after the Christians are all gone, but a war against Christians going on today, right in our own time, if we would but look for it through the light from God's Word. Until next week, when I return, God willing, to continue answering that question, what is Mystery Babylon? This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.